1 Kings 18. I appreciate your faithfulness. The program's over. We're not given pictures or treasures or anything else, and you're still at church for Jesus. That's a good thing. Make sure you make it every week. Let's stand together. 1 Kings, verse 18. I'm going to start off with just two verses, tell a story, and go into some of the scriptures. 1 Kings 18, and I'll be reading, starting at verse 17. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? 1 Kings 18 and verse 18. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandment of the Lord, and hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 150, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. I'm going to talk about today, we're starting this series on decisions, and today's lesson will be on the demanded decision. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd help now with your word, Father. It's your church, your word. Lord, I just pray that you would do what you want done. I know you want to do great things. I know you want us to be changed and like you and holy and godly. And you want us to have victory in you and to walk in the truth, Lord. And I pray you'd help us. We need your Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. We need your Holy Spirit to reprove, rebuke, and exhort and help us seek with clarity what we need, Father. We pray that you'd take control. We pray that we'd have ears to hear. I pray I'd be moved out of the way and that you would just have a body to speak through and say what you want said. I pray our ears would hear and would respond as you have each one of us, knowing what we need, where we are, what's happening in our lives, Lord. You would help us to fix whatever needs fixed and to become what we need to become and become more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, just in this story, what happens is, it's an amazing story because Elijah comes along, and Israel had been in a very hard time, and Israel had been going and saying that we love the Lord of the Bible, Jehovah, God, we love the Lord, and we love Baal, and we serve Baal, and we do these sacrifices to idols, and we do all these things, and because of this, that wasn't good enough for God. And understand, in the Bible, God never says that I'm 50% God and 50% this. God does not accept that. That to God is 0%. Okay, God does not take partial loyalty and halfway loyalty to him. No more than a woman would. Honey, I love you just as much as I love this other woman. It does not go over. And God does not accept that. And you say, well, I love you 50%. Well, that does not mean that she's going to say, oh, okay, as long as you love me part way. That doesn't work that way, nor does it with the Lord. And the Lord says, I am not going to allow this. So he started sending bad times, a drought upon Israel and punishing Israel. And they started blaming Elijah for doing that. But Elijah says, as soon as you return and repent, everything will be blessed again. And remember that. Don't get mad at God when you're not blessed. When God is punishing you, all you have to do is turn, and God's merciful. And so the Lord is doing that. And finally, Elijah met with the king, and the king said, what are you doing? And this is wrong, and you're troubling Israel. And he says, you know what? It's enough of this. We are going to go, and we're going to go and settle this thing and find out who the real God is. And so Elijah calls, and he says, send the prophets of Baal, and send the people who go to the groves. And there's 450 of these and 400 of those. And send them there, and meet me at Mount Carmel, and send all the people of Israel to gather around, and we will meet, and we'll find out who the real God is. And he says, and so they all gather together. And Elijah stands up, the prophet of God, and he says, how long halt ye between two opinions? How long are you going to be with two opinions here? It's very simple. If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. But make a decision, and don't halt between two opinions. Find out what the truth is, and follow it. Because the true God is worthy to be followed, and he ought to be followed, and you're not being blessed, and he is right. And so do not halt between two opinions. Make a decision. And so they got all the people there, and he says, okay, here's what we'll do. This sounds like a plan. What we'll do is we're going to put a sacrifice on an altar, And whoever's God answers by fire and consumes the sacrifice, that'll be the true God, and you'll worship him. Sound good? All the people of Israel said, that sounds like a great plan. We'll find out who the true God is. So Elijah said, okay, prophets of Baal, you 400, you go first. Now, the one godly Christian with God with him, is he can handle 400. And it's not a worry. You can handle it. You plus God equals a majority. Always remember that. No matter where you are, no matter what you're facing, you plus God equals a majority. God is bigger than a million. And you just got to have God on your side. You got to focus on God, have him right, and you'll be just fine. And Elijah says, okay, go ahead and sacrifice to Baal. You have at it, guys. It's morning, and they start going out there. They go and have their altar there, and they put a bullock on there, a big bull, and they start saying, oh, Baal, hear us. Oh, Baal, hear us. They start chanting for Baal, and nothing happens. And they do it for another hour. And the day gets going on pretty long, and actually Elijah starts mocking them. He starts making fun of them. And Elijah, verse 27, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud. He says, you better cry louder, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he's on a journey. Maybe he's taking a trip somewhere, or peradventure he's asleep and he must be awakened. So call out louder, because he must be sleeping. And he's not answering. He's mocking them. And boy, the prophets of Baal, they get more intense. And they start really getting intense about this. And they start screaming louder, Baal, hear us, consume this, show that you're God. And then they start cutting themselves with knives. And by the way, false religion many times, and whenever this demon, Baal was actually a demon, I believe, just like I believe Moloch was actually a true demon that they were worshiping. They didn't know that. Whenever demons are around, one of the first things they do is start destroying the human body. Because it's a temple of God. They start cutting themselves. They start doing all kinds of things like that and destroying the human body because it's God's temple. And they start cutting themselves and slashing themselves and screaming out and crying out, and they're blooded themselves, blood everywhere. And I want to say this, if sincerity would have done it, they would have gotten it. Because they were trying with all their hearts. And kind of we get this psychology, and it's been around for 25 years, but this psychology that whatever you believe in your heart is real and true. Well, Baal wasn't answering, though they were really, with all their heart, believing and trying. It does not matter if you believe something is true if it's wrong. You might be truly sincere. You might really believe it. It doesn't make it true. Okay? There are people who've done all kinds of evil things in history that were wrong. They believed something wrong. There's been a bunch of people who are on a drug trip and said they could fly. And they found out they couldn't. And there's a bunch of people in history who thought they were indestructible, thought they were going to do this and that. And just because you believe something, listen, if I believe I can get run over by a Mack truck and it won't even hurt me because I'm indestructible. When I stand in front of the Mack truck, I'm going to be hurt. Amen. The amount that you believe with sincerity does not make something true. Just because Hitler believed the Jews were the problem did not automatically make it true that the Jews were the problem. Okay? Believing something does not make it true. Whether it's sincere, whether it's with all your heart, it doesn't matter. Jesus is the truth. Yes. And he will be the truth if nobody believes it. Okay, that gravity is true whether you believe it or not. Okay? Wile E. Coyote tried it all kinds of times. Always end up the same at the bottom of the cliff. I mean, it's true. I mean, gravity works whether you believe in gravity or not. You ever sure you could do something? And you couldn't do it. But you were stunned you couldn't do it. Listen, today there'll be teams who know they can win the game today and won't win. Seahawks, for example. But when you go and you believe, and they believe that they're cutting themselves and slicing themselves and saying, oh, Baal, hear us. And hour after hour went by, jumping around, dancing around, doing their thing, doing their dance, doing their Baal thing. And Baal never answered. Finally, it gets way late in the day. And he said, all right, our turn. And he took and he rebuilt the altar of God, because the altar of God had crumbled because people were neglecting it. And he rebuilt the altar of God. Then he went and took the bullock and put it on top of the altar and prepared it. And then he said, okay, get some water. We're just going to make sure there's no funny stuff going on here. And he took four barrels of water and poured it over the sacrifice and over the wood that was underneath of it. And then they dug a trench around it, and he said, pour four more barrels. These aren't buckets, these are barrels. Yeah. four more barrels. They need to do it a third time. They poured four more barrels. He says, this thing isn't going to light unless it's God. He wanted to prove it and let God prove it very clearly. And so then he prays. He says, God, show that you are the real God so they can return to you. And suddenly a great fire comes down from heaven and literally consumes the bullock and the wood and all the water, and everything is gone. Verse 37, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou hast turned their heart back again. And the fire of the Lord fell and consumed a burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is the God. They said, the Lord, he is the God. There comes a moment, there's a decision right here where they said, we believe he's the God, and we are going to follow him. We are getting rid of the prophets of Baal. They killed all the prophets of Baal, got rid of all of them. And they said, we are making our decision for God. Now, this happened for one reason. This happened because Elijah said, no more. We're going to make a decision here. We're going to decide. One of the things that's the greatest danger that we have today is an unwillingness to decide, an unwillingness to make a decision, an unwillingness to pick a side, an unwillingness, even when you know the right side, to pick that side, an unwillingness to step out and decide to do something and to go some way and to make a choice. See, this, nobody gets offended and nobody gets upset and nobody has any problem when you say, just believe what you want to believe. That's fine. But when your belief takes form of action, if you have to decide something and make a sacrifice, everybody who might say, I follow Jesus and I believe in Jesus, then things happen differently. There comes a time when we do not decide that the Lord brings a moment of decision where the choice is demanded. Understand that. Most of the time in life, a choice is not demanded. But in this case, along came God, and in the Bible, he said, I'm going to force a choice now. I've had you halted between two opinions too long. I've got to make you make a choice so you can go forward and not stay there and say, I believe this, but I'm not doing anything about it, or I'm disobeying what I believe because I don't have to make a choice right now. As long as I'm staying here, I'm comfortable and I can have the best of both worlds. But you can't. Israel, you're not having God's presence. You're not having God's blessing because you haven't chosen God. You just said you like God and you're not going against him. But you are because you're worshiping Baal. So you got to make a choice here. And the sermon today on this first part of decisions is the demanded decision when God demands a decision. Sometimes God comes and forces the issue and says, I am going to make you go down one of these roads. Put it in gear. I'm starting the car. You steer. Vroom. And the car starts going quickly, and you got to choose. Which road? Which road? You can no longer sit at the fork of the road and say, I like both roads. Do you want to go see the desert, or do you want to go see Alaska? Which one? But you're going to choose one. The car is going. Choose. And God does that sometimes. The Lord demands a decision for our good. How long do you halt between two opinions? And there's a moment of decision where a choice is demanded in your life. If the government in America... We don't have to make a decision. In Iran, they do. Are you a Christian? Then it's going to cost you something. If the government came in today and the government changed the laws and all of a sudden we got some terrible dictator in charge of America and they said, if you are a Christian, we're going to take everything you own. Your house, your car, your clothes, your money, your savings, your 401k, we're going to take everything. Church attendances would nosedive because a decision would be forced. Now, I believe most of you would still show up to church, and most of you would be willing to serve God, and most of you would be willing to pay that price. However, we don't have to make that decision. But if that decision was made, you understand, if that decision was put to us, most Christians will say, would become far better Christians. Amen. You know why they become better Christians? Because now they would have to decide to truly, completely follow God. Amen. Right now, and if you said this to me in the last couple weeks, I'm not thinking of you, okay? But also the person says, I'm just kind of tired, I don't want to go to church today, that would all be gone. I'm just kind of busy, just need a little time alone, would all be gone. I'm just kind of sleeping out, I can't read my Bible, would all be gone. You would have made such a definite choice to follow God and sacrifice everything that you'd be a complete all-in Christian because a decision was forced upon you. But since that's not done, we kind of sit here, and there's no Baal for you to worship to feel really guilty about. We just have money and busy schedules and things in America. And that's the halt between two opinions. Because if you really, you know, if you decided to go all out for God, your life would change. And you know you'd have to get rid of some things, and you know you would have to go, and you would have to change the way you go to church, and how you pray, and how you read your Bible, and what friends you hang around, and it would cost you something very deeply. So the devil doesn't come to you and say, do not serve Jesus, reject him. He knows you're not going to do that. He said, just don't decide. Just like Jesus, feel good about yourself and be pretty decent and be okay. But I'm not going to demand you make a decision whether to serve God or me or the world. I know you'd choose God if the decision was forced upon you, so I'm not going to force you. Just hang out where you are. It's pretty comfortable. You feel kind of good. You kind of like God, and everything's kind of nice, and there's no demand for decision, and so enjoy. But then every once in a while, the Lord says, I'm not going to put up with that. I'm going to make you decide. I'm going to bring circumstances in your life where you're going to say, I love you, Jesus, or I'm not going. I'm going to start putting situations in your life. I'm going to make you need me. I'm going to make you where you got to choose between him or me, her or me. I'm going to put friends who are all of a sudden going to offer you bad things. And you're going to have to say, no, I'm a Christian. Or you're going to say, okay. And the demanded decision that comes from God is not because God doesn't love you. It's because you're nowhere. And mediocrity is a worse spot to be in the world. Hey, be a great Christian or a great sinner. Make a choice. The world out there is sick of the hypocrisy of halfway in, halfway out Christianity.
Come on now.
They don't like it. They want to see something real. And you're going to church like this because we're very serious about serving God. We will never be the biggest church because we demand decisions. We're not going to twist your arm. We're not going to say it to serve God. But when you come to Open Door, the Holy Spirit starts saying, hey, where you stand? Starts saying, this is wrong. You're going to keep doing that? And starts speaking to people. And sometimes people say, you know what? I'm just going to go do my thing. Or I want to go somewhere where the guy's not going to preach so hard or whatever they want. And that's fine. Because he wants you to decide. Because you got a whole eternity to reap what you decided. And he wants you to decide to serve Jesus with everything you have. Now, next week, we'll talk about a personal decision and the non-demanded decision, the choice of a decision. But today, we're talking about the demanded decision. Elijah stands up there and says, how long halts you between two opinions? We're going to have one or the other. Either kill me or kill the prophets of Baal by the end of the day. But it's either God or Baal. One of them is God. Which one do you want? Because God does not want you to stay in the middle anymore. If the government came in and took all you had, you would probably love Jesus enough to give up everything you have. You'd probably be homeless. You might go live in your car, and you might lose all of your money, and you would say, I am serving Jesus with everything. And all of a sudden, because you made such a life's huge choice to serve Jesus with everything you had, you would at that point become a Christian who understood sacrifice, and to go all the way would be no big deal, and you become an amazing Christian, and by the way, you'd be much happier. He would say, I have never felt God's presence like this. Lord, you are so close to me right now. This was worth losing everything for. Wow, Lord, thank you so much for making the government change and become like that, that I got to choose you, Lord. And you'd like it. If you chose that. Some would choose the comforts. I'm glad. Now listen, I'm glad I don't have to make that decision. I like having a roof over my head. I like having food. I like having a shelter for my family. I like all that. But you know what? I also have stepped back enough to look and say, I'll be willing to do that. But since I don't have to, I'm going to love Jesus enough to just do it because I love him.
Yes.
I'm not going to make him force a decision in my life. I'm going to choose to make a decision. And whatever the price is, wherever I have to go, I'm going to serve Jesus. I try to do that because I love him, because he's worthy, because he's my father, because he died for me. And all these reasons, I want to do that, not because he's forced a decision, but sometimes in our lives, we get complacent and we get kind of comfortable. And God says, I'm going to demand decision now. And I'm going to make you make a choice because I want you to follow me. And I know you will when I demand a decision, because I will show myself to be the Lord. Most Christians don't sacrifice because it's one area. They think they're pretty good. They don't want to be judged. They don't want to feel bad about themselves. And so, and by the way, I don't, if you know me, anybody in this church knows me, I never twist anybody's arm. If I do, it's because they ask me to. If you say, Pastor, I need you to keep me straight and let me have it, then I'll do that. I have certain people I ask regularly. I have people in this room. I will ask you, are you staying clean? I'll do that because we need to do that. But I don't twist your arm. I don't make you go to church. I don't have that kind of authority. And I wouldn't because you need to do it because you love Jesus. But God might put a decision upon you and demand, and he puts it upon me and demand that I do something for him. When you have to pick a side, when he demands a decision, things change. Many want to be on the Lord's side. So they just do not want to take the uniform, leave anything, pay a price, sacrifice, or have to leave anything behind. This is not a decision. And as I begin to tell you stories in the Bible, you'll find out the Bible is full of this demand of decision. Now, in America, when you get saved, you don't get arrested like you do in Iran or other places. The Christians who are meeting this morning in China will be meeting in a little tiny house church of 10 people or less and still risking great danger. And they're making a choice to follow Jesus. As I travel the mission field and go around the world, when you go overseas, it is understood, like it was in the Bible, that when you said, I'm becoming a Christian, you are completely changing. You are no longer the old you. In America, people just want to add Jesus to their life. That is not what the Bible did. The Bible, Jesus said, if you're coming out to me, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. And Jesus and the Bible was a very much, it was a, I am going this way, I am turning this way. But what this way is my way, and what we do is, okay, I'm going this way, and I like Jesus too. I'm going to add him to my way, and now I got Jesus in my life, I feel better about myself. But you did not make a decision to follow Jesus. You just tried to add Jesus to your name instead of saying, I am now a Christian, and I belong to God. I am not my own, I'm bought with a price, the Bible says. And so I am deciding to follow Jesus. Now, some people make that decision, they just say, I'm going to follow Jesus the rest of my life. Then some people say, I'm kind of comfortable here. I don't want to really go too far. And you don't have to decide for Jesus, so God does it. And so a demanded decision comes on, happened with Elijah, happens many times in the Bible. Let me read you some passages here in the New Testament where this happens besides just our story there. In Luke, we'll just read out of Luke because I got a couple passages by each other here. Luke chapter 9. We could read out of, by the way, I could read out of any of the four Gospels all over. On this subject, it's all over. Jesus was all over this thing. Jesus was all over this thing. And Jesus was harsh about it. He was pretty rough on it. Watch Jesus demand decisions. Luke 9. And verse 23. And he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall save. Do you see the decision there? You see how he's just laying it out there? If you want to follow me, deny yourself. Make a choice. Do you want to follow me? Do you want to follow your own way? And it's a very clear decision. Luke 11 and verse 23. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. It's very simple there. You're for Jesus or you're against him. Well, no. I'm not against Jesus. I'm just not really for him. You can't be. He's a true God. You can't have Baal and Jesus. He that is not with me, then it says he that doesn't gather with me scatters against me. You scatter when you're not serving me. In other words, it's not just you're not going to church or it's not just you're not coming to me. You're scattering. There's no neutrality there. It's a decision that's demanded. And Jesus does all over the Bible. And we see this very commonly. Jesus is a door. You go through it or you don't go through it. Isn't that simple? Jesus is the door. You got to make a decision. Do you want to go through the door? That's a decision. Jesus is the way. He isn't a way. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Do you want to follow me? Do you want? Am I the way? Or are you going to go through me? If you want to come to the Father, you got to go through me. You have to make that decision. You can't say, I want to believe in Jesus and find my own particular way to heaven. You can't do that. He says, you can't come to the Father but by me. I am the way. Make a decision. I am demanding that if you want to go to heaven, you have to go through me. Jesus demands decision. And he does that. And he's the door. He is the way. And he calls himself so many different ways. In the Bible, many passages you'll be familiar with. And all of a sudden, you'll understand it was a demanded decision. How about Joshua 24:15? Everybody has it in front of their house. But that was a demanded decision. A lot of Christians know this verse and do it. But if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua 24:15. Whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. Joshua is dying and said, choose you this day. Choose you this day. Who are we going to serve? And he says, if you want to serve the gods over there, serve them. Please understand that. This is not what I naturally feel. But it's what God feels. God says, I would rather you serve Baal than serve me and Baal. If you want to go to the gods of Egypt, go do it, Jesus. That's what he says in this verse. That is what Elijah said. How long halts you between two opinions? If Baal's God, he said, serve him. And so do you understand here? The whole point is, the Lord is demanding a decision. And the Lord says, I'm making you choose whether me or Baal. I don't want you not to choose. I don't want you to choose me and Baal. If Baal's God, go serve him. If the gods of the other side are them, go serve him. Bible, how about Jesus? You cannot serve God and money. Which one do you want? You can't serve both. Christians in America have, with the prosperity gospel has gone out, have a problem with this. But you cannot. It is impossible if Jesus is telling the truth, which I reckon he is. You cannot serve God and money. You got to choose. That means your job is the back burner. That means your finances are God's. Yes, you go to work, and yes, you work hard, and yes, you wise your finances, but they're God's, and every penny is God's if he wants to take it. And if he says, go to church and don't go to work, and take a job where you can go to church, then you do it. Because you cannot serve God and money. If you're going to prioritize money in your life, you cannot serve God. You cannot. You have to make a choice. And God demands that. We don't want to sometimes face that, but that's what God does. A real decision puts you on a specific path that you may not walk perfectly, but you will be on that path. I want you to get that there. A real decision puts you on a specific path. You may not walk that path perfectly, but you are not going back from that path. I, at a certain point in my life, decided to serve the Lord. Have I walked perfectly in that path? No. The Bible says a just man, Proverbs 24 and verse 16, a just man falls seven times and rises up again. If you today would say, I am going to serve Jesus with everything I have, I'm making a choice to do that. I'm not saying I'm going to kind of go to church sometimes and live my life. I mean, you'd say, I'm going to serve Jesus with all my heart. And you decided to give up your life. As Jesus said, deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. If you decide to live for God and not yourself, by the way, the funny thing is he that loses his life finds it. And he that keeps his life loses it. You get a better life. But you decide that path. You would be on this path. Now I am on this road here. I chose the road towards this. I'm on this road now. Will you have mechanical problems? Yes. But you're on the right road. Will you be perfect? No. But you're on the right road. And when I decided to serve God, and when you decide I'm going to serve the Lord, or I'm going to do this thing, or I'm changing this thing in my life, when you decide to get on that road, it does not mean you walk that road perfectly. It means that is the direction of your life, and you are not going back. And everything is striving towards that. And everything is striving towards getting that done. You might not get there in a day, but a real decision puts you on a specific path where you made a decision to forsake something and go a certain way. When I became a Christian at 16, I kind of struggled for a year, and then I, I got straightened out. At that point, when I started serving the Lord, I loved it. To be honest with you, I just liked it. I thought the Christian life, it was the greatest thing in the world. I mean, I tried the world and tried the sin and everything like that, and I was empty and didn't have what I wanted. And then I decided to really serve Jesus, and I just was loving it. I mean, I had joy, I had peace I'd ever known, I had purpose, God was using me, I was helping people, life was going great, my decisions weren't messing up my life anymore. I mean, everything was good. I liked serving God. I grew a lot. I started having a lot of influence, started preaching as a teenager. I went to Bible college. I still love serving God. Things are great. And then I went through a couple years of Bible college. Things were great. I was having a ball. Life was great. Life was wonderful. Trials, of course, part of life, how I go through trials. But then something happened when I was, I got married, but 2 weeks before I got married, I got laid off. And then couldn't find a job for a while, and I had a brutal year that year. I made my gross income that year as a married person was $7,000. And I didn't know anything about welfare, food stamps, assistance, food banks, anything. And when I say I was poor, I mean I was poor. I did not have a food bank to go to. At one time in my house, for 4 days, we had in my house literally one box of cornmeal. That's all we had. I don't know where I got it from. One, I did not have a, if you went to my fridge, there wasn't a thing in it. Not a thing. There wasn't, I'm not talking about the bachelor thing, there's some old moldy macaroni and cheese back there. I'm not talking about that. I mean, there was not, it was bare empty. My freezer, not a bare thing. One cupboard, there was one box of cornmeal. We were poor. I had cornmeal pancakes, cornmeal burger, cornmeal, everything you can have it. Please don't ever feed me cornmeal again. That's all I had. My wife and I, we were married. And we ate, I mean, very little for that week. We had that month that we had the cornmeal, we had $15 of food that month. That's all we had. We didn't get it. I'm not saying I got $15 and went to the food bank. I mean, we ate $15 that month. A couple did. And it sure seemed to me like God wasn't keeping his word and providing for me. I went and started a business right during that time because I couldn't find a job. Me and a guy started a business. I started a business with the wrong business partner and lost more money than I gained. I didn't have much to lose. And it went bad. And then we were poor and we were having a hard time. And I was frustrated. And I was out of college that semester. I wasn't doing that. And here I am doing nothing but training for the ministry for God. And then I got a new job, landed a new job, but it was part-time. And it was a hard physical job, and my back went out. And I couldn't afford to not go to work with a heavy lifting job with my back completely out. Have you ever had your back out before? Try going to work that night and lifting 80 and 90-pound boxes all night. And I could not go to work with that much pain in my back. And didn't have any medical coverage, couldn't go to the doctor, didn't know what was wrong with my back, didn't know if it was permanent, didn't know anything. And it wasn't fun to serve God anymore. And the devil just attacked me and said, you know what? Why are you serving God and all this stuff is happening to you? Look at that. There's a bunch of heathens who aren't, their back isn't out and they're not eating one box of food and they're not doing this. They're out partying and drinking all night. They're blowing their money on everything and you don't have anything. I didn't have a kitchen table. They get baby showers now, and people get wedding showers. We didn't get a sprinkle. We didn't get anything. Everything I got was from the dumpster of a very poor set of apartments, and it was bad. It was bad. I remember one night we had this table and it was all uneven and broken. Somebody threw it away, and the top was all. Half the veneer is off, and I went to go and try to make it somewhat level so that our plates could sit still, and I sliced my hand through and had to get stitches. It was just one of those years. How many ever had one of those years? It was just one of those years. I get the joy of telling everybody about it, though. You just got to bear it yourself. The devil just sat on my shoulder, and it was dark. Man, it was miserable. And remember, I took out a piece of paper, and I said, I've got to decide if I'm going to keep serving God or not. I'm in the ugliest area of America. I hate it here. I'm miserable, I'm poor, everything's wrong. I can go back home and make everything easier. And I could leave the will of God. God wants me here, but I can leave this. I could go back home. I could live in my mom's house before I live like this. I could go and I know I can get jobs back home. And I just had to say, am I going to serve God or not? And I sat there and reasoned it out. I wrote it on a piece of paper. And I just wrote it out. Am I going to serve God or not? I wrote down the pros and cons. I wrote down, and didn't seem like God was real to me. Didn't seem like God was doing anything for me. Didn't seem like God was even hearing me. I had a prayer-proof roof. It just didn't go anywhere. And it was one of those years. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to serve God.
Come on now. Thank you.
Now, I didn't even know if God was real at that time, but I said, I'm going to serve God. Now, people say to me now, Pastor, you're so stable. It seems like you're never up, you're never down. It seems like you never struggle, you're never tired. If you think I'm very stable now, understand that's because I had to go through that.
Come on now, thank you, Lord Jesus.
That's right. It's because I went through a lot of very hard times. I had to choose at that time, God, so I want to see if you're going to serve me or not, because you're going to be going through some really hard times in the future, and I want you to choose to serve me, and I'm not going to bless you. And Job had to say, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My wife's cursed me. My kids have all died. My property's all gone. I'm poor. I'm poverty. My health is shot. But God's good. He had to choose when the decision was demanded. Sometimes that pressure comes on. And sometimes it's this way. I'm going to serve God. And then your commitment gets tried. Soon as you say, I'm going to tithe, guess what happens? Your finances fall to pieces. And you need that 10% real bad. I'm going to keep myself pure. And guess what happens? Mr. Supermodel comes along. The supermodel girl you've always dreamed of comes along the next day, who's not a Christian, and says, you're the best looking man in the entire world, and you know you're the ugliest thing in the world, but there it is. And all of a sudden, your decision, which you decided to do, is tried. And God says, I'm demanding a decision. You thought that'd be easy. You thought, I only did a good Christian, godly person. And you thought that meant God was going to send you a supermodel, godly Christian who said, do you know if you died today, you go to heaven? You like my New Testament? And it didn't work out that way. And all of a sudden, that same person came up and said something that wasn't Christian, but they like you a whole bunch. And your decision is tried. God says, let's see if you're really decided. Because I'm not asking you to say you decided, because a decision, when you make a decision, you stick with it. I'm on this road. And if I'm single the rest of my life, I'm on this road. If I starve or I'm tithing, I'm on this road. Hey, you're blessed. We got a food bank here. Go get some food. And keep on doing what God wants you to do. You're going to say, I'm going to go to church every Sunday. And all of a sudden, you're going to get this incredible job offer with Sundays working. Happens all the time. Happens all the time. Your decision gets tried, and God says, let's make sure you decided. But as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. Yes. Choose you this day. And nobody else can make your decisions for you. I wish I could make decisions for people. Don't you wish there's some people in your life you can make decisions for them? Say, what are you doing? Don't you know that decisions can be worse for you? But they run to the easy decision. But God says, my decisions aren't easy. And the Lord sends Elijah along. And the Lord sends circumstances along. And the Lord says, let me see. I'm going to demand a decision because I want you to really choose to follow me. And God put me in the worst spot in my life, in the most miserable situation, and says, now choose. Have at him, devil. Let him really choose. Because he's going to need to choose now, because he'll need to have real stability and strength in the future. And I chose, praise God, with God's grace and God's strength. I chose, and by the way, you know what? I've never had to choose again. I don't have to choose every day. I don't have to choose every month. I made a big choice back then. Can you just say, God has demanded a decision of me? And I don't want us to just do this lightly. I don't want us to just say, okay, fine, I'll serve God. I mean, the government's not going to kick in our door, is it? It's not going to happen, is it? The government's not going to kick in our door. And your life might be so blessed that God's just been good to you, and you'll have to make the decision. But God might be pushing some of you in demanding a decision. He might be sending Elijah along. And are you going to serve God or not? Because it's very easy to say, I love Jesus, my life just doesn't work right now to go to church or read a Bible or pray or change morality or get this bad person out of my life or quit the drugs. Or my life right now is just too inconvenient to do that. If you, that's God saying, I'm going to make it difficult to see if you really want it. I've told you a story before about a girl who called me. And she said, I'm engaged to this guy. And she was telling me about this guy, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And everything didn't check out, the story with me. And we're talking, and boy, this guy's awesome. He owns three businesses, and he does this and that, and he's awesome, and he loves me. And we're going to get married, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I said, when's a wedding date? She said, well, we haven't set it yet. I said, let me guess. You don't have a ring on your finger either, do you? No. What's that matter? I said, because you're engaged, but he's not. And I said, no, he loves me with everything he has. I said, okay. I said, you think he loves you more than $500? Absolutely, he loves me more than anything. Okay. I said, I guarantee you he will not buy you a wedding ring for $500. I said, he's messing with you, and he's using you, and he does not want commitment with you. Yes, he does. You don't understand him. You don't know him. Da, 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 da. I said, you know what? I want you to mock me and make fun of me after you call him and say, honey, I want to meet you somewhere, and meet him at the mall and say, honey, do you love me? If you do, here's the ring I chose out for our engagement ring. And I said, if he buys it for you, call me back and mock me and tell me I'm dead wrong. And he didn't and wouldn't. Because that would cause a decision where he really had to commit to her. Rich. And by the way, can I tell you? If somebody's not willing to make a decision for you, don't get near them with a 10-foot pole. They'll live with you. They'll use you. They'll talk about you. They'll tell you they love you. But they won't make a decision for you. Good. Let me delete that old girlfriend's number off your phone then. Well, no.
Come on now. It's Rich. Yeah, that's right.
Then you need to be willing to do this. By the way, are you willing to wait for me? Because I'm going to stay pure till I'm married. Well, then you're not making a decision for me. Listen, folks, if people won't pay a price for something, they haven't decided for it. If they will not pay a price for Jesus, they haven't decided for Jesus. And it's time we just realize that it's time to make a decision for our Lord. It's time, and sometimes in our lives, God's demanding it like God did at a certain point. But now it's a daily decision now where I've just chosen and I'm just going down the path and so glad I did. And can I tell you, every day I'm not perfect and a just man falls seven times and rise up again. But I am pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. I am on that path for Jesus. I'm not doing this thing lightly. And God can. If God says they're kicking in your door, or if God says go to Nigeria, I'm going. I decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Oh, I'm so glad I did that. I'm so glad I did that, and my kids are so glad I did that. Can you today just realize that sometimes God in his goodness says, let's decide here. I'm demanding a decision. Next week we'll tell you how to make a personal decision that'll make you stick with what you should do. But maybe some of you, God's pushing for a decision. And maybe some of you today, you say, you know what? I don't have to, but I'm going to decide that my life's God's. I'm going to decide to do something for God that really is tangible and really serve him. If you do that, you'll find out. Decide what you will do. Make a decision. Can I say this today? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have to decide to be saved. You can't just say, I would like to go to heaven. You got to decide to receive Jesus. And he wants to save you today. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. I pray, Lord, that when you demand a decision, we would respond properly. It's because of your goodness. It's not because you're trying to be mean to us. Lord, I can look back and truly say I went through that terrible time, but it was so good I went through it. Because you really made me decide to serve you. And I've never had to turn back, and I never struggled with that ever since then, Lord, because the decision was so serious and so profound. And Lord, I truly believe, Father, if I had to give my life for you today, I would. But it's all based on a decision I made when I was 22. I pray, Lord, that if a weak person like me can make a decision to serve you, that all of us realize we can do that. And Lord, if in some area of our lives today you're demanding a decision, I pray we'd make the right decision, Lord. Please help us. Please help us to make decisions that are real. And Lord, when you put us to the test, like you did with Abraham and Isaac, Lord, I pray we'd pass a test because we made real decisions and not light, fluffy, little talks that is just a game and everybody around us laughs at our type of Christianity. May we have deep, profound decisions. And Lord, when you demand it, may we follow and may we make it the right choice, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed.